Well, I don't know where this is going to go, because all I got was one word this morning, and it came back a couple times, and I want to make sure that we obey him and not me. So if you will just close your eyes and say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
I have eyes that see, ears that hear, and my heart perceives, that you are talking to me. Hallelujah. The verse I heard loud and clear was Hebrews 6, verse 11. Hebrews chapter 6, so that's where we're going. But verse 11 is the verse that he said to me. He said, we want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. And I said, Lord, I'm not catching on. He says, you will. So, we want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. So now, if you back it up to verse 1, I think you'll get to understand a little more of what he's trying to say. In verse 1, he says, therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundations of repentance from acts that lead to death. Okay. You could take a lot of that and dissect it, but in reality, I believe after 2,000 years, nobody's got it yet.
Amen.
Jesus. All right? Leaving the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. Did he know that there would be a group of people that would come down the road, a couple of thousand years down the road, that would actually get hungry for the Lord?
Yes.
Did he know he had a few that were aware, like 120, when this was written? But out of 120, of all the people that Jesus touched and spoke to, that's a very small number. He spoke to thousands upon thousands. He fed thousands upon thousands. He was associated with thousands upon thousands. And now, the writer to the Hebrews is saying, hey, get with it. Go on to maturity, not laying again the foundations of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God. Instructions about baptism, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and the eternal judgment. Now wake up! When's the last time you laid hands on a dead body and commanded it to rise? Are you there yet? Is the church there? Some of the church is. Some of the church is. And I remember Royal saying to us right here in this region, he said, Kim, there is sometimes people who are raised from the dead and still go back to live for Satan. And I was shocked.
Wow.
He, of course, was in Southern California when his ministry started. And some people from Mexico had been born again and spirit-filled in his ministry. Some of those people came back and asked him to come to a little hut, in a small village area where there was a lady that had died. He went with them. They laid hands on the body, and the woman came back to life. He said she came a few times. If I remember all the details, just take it for granted, I'm doing my best. But went back to live for the Lord, for the world. He said he questioned the Lord, "Why did you let us go and pray over this woman, have her come out of death, come back to life, and then go back to the world?" And he said all he heard was, "I respected her free will like I respect yours." I remember going home after those words were spoken into my heart from a man that I respected. And I had a lot of problems with my mind. This got me in trouble. How many know your brain can do a number on you? Yeah. It did a number on me. And I questioned, how about the ones that he, Jesus, resurrected? Think about how many. The woman who had the one son, Lazarus, etc. The little girl. Did they decide to live for the Lord? Do we know? We don't know. But I don't think that's important. I think the lesson is that God will respect whoever, however they choose, and whatever their purpose in their hearts to do. We need to say the same. I will respect whatever decision you make. Whatever decision, whether it's for life or death, should not affect you. Or me. It will definitely create something in your emotions. Yep. But I say be careful. If God can respect, can you? It's a decision we all need to make. Now watch verse 4. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gifts, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God, and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance. Because of their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. If you think I'm going back and to dissect that one, I'm going to let you do that. Because that can spell a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And if I touch it, my soul might get involved and I don't want to go there. But verse 7 says, land that drinks in the rain, often falling on it, and that produces a crop useful to those whom it is farmed, receives the blessings of God. But land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and is in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be burned. Even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are confident of better things in our case. Things that accompany salvation. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show this same diligence to every end in order to make your hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who, through faith and patience, inherit what has been promised. My heart cries out for those who have received. My heart cries out that they will receive the abundance of grace that I have received. Did I do it all right? The answer is no. How many times have I been forgiven? I can't even count. The older I get, the more that I realize within me, there's not much of anything except Him left. And what's left in me, I see a lot of times as intentions of darkness. So my heart says to you, your hope is to be secure in His abilities and not in yours or mine. Your hope is that for all His intents and purposes, those He raised from the dead, those He brought out of the grave, including me, I pray that the hope will stay alive until the victory. The victory of the crossover, the victory that He's planned for each of us for eternity. And it is written in His book what He wants. And as I went over this word this morning, I want you to just close your eyes right now. No more sitting, no stepping, no walking, no running. Time to fly. Time to fly. Leave this world and enter the realm of the Spirit with me. The bride is preparing for my coming, but my desire is to be intimate with you. Now and today. Cast aside the feelings that do not matter in the Spirit. Lay aside all that you know in the natural. The natural is not who you are anymore. You are of my Spirit first and foremost. You question, how do I get there, Lord? How do I get that close to you? Just fly into my arms. They are open. It is simple, so simple. Fly into me. As I was reading that and I put that together with that verse 11, it has a lot of meaning. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. Excuse me. Yesterday, around 2-ish, 1:30, I left my house to go and have a short prayer with this lady who's planning to go home. I've known her since the 1970s. I was there for a little while. I saw her son, who I have not seen for 30 years. All I can say is watching somebody get ready to go home several times this week shows me one thing, is the assurance and that hope in the ones around her or in her Lord. And every time that I visited, and I've been in every other day, except I went Friday and Saturday, there was one assurance. Everything I spoke to her, there was one response. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So every word that I spoke for her perspective was the Lord speaking to her. And we talked about several things. And she's on morphine, so I know that that's requiring an extra effort to respond.
her daughter, whom I also had not seen for many, many years, said to me yesterday, she said, "You came on Monday, you came on Wednesday. When you came on Monday, my mother was worshiping the Lord for an hour and a half nonstop, just because it was the thing to do. So when you came on Wednesday, both my father, or stepfather, and my mother were in the realm of the Spirit," and she said, "roughly an hour and a half, maybe more. Thank you for coming." What am I saying? I see my own value, but I see His value in me doing the work He's called me to do. So I want you to close your eyes now and put your right hand over your heart. Say, "The commission,
the commission
that my Heavenly Father,
that my Heavenly Father
has put in me,
has put in me,
it's time,
it's time
for me to realize,
for me to realize
that there is a plan,
that there is a plan
unfolding
for each of us.
I want to be diligent.
I want to be diligent
to make the very end,
to make the very end,
in order to make my hope secure.
In Jesus alone.
Not in people.
Not in people.
Because that doesn't work. They just might fail.
They might come out of the grave
and go back.
And go back.
And God will respect.
And God will respect.
Will I?
Will I?
It's up to me.
It's up to me.
Amen. Amen. Amen.